do you feel safe in the city? I can't say that I do on a regular basis, but it is is it just something that you have to live with living near or in big cities, or is there something else that can be done? Our next guest thinks there's a way to solve that problem, which he discusses in his new book, What Next? Chicago, Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son. Joining us now is that book's author, Matt Rosenberg. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, good morning. Pleased to be with you.
All right. Now, your book discusses Chicago and its notorious problems with violent crime, but it seems after decades of overall decline, crime is surging back kind of everywhere. I mean, from San Francisco to Waukesha. Do you see similarities in the way these municipalities are run that's contributing to their declining records on public safety?
Absolutely, yes, I do. And it's really a concerning thing. One particular weakness almost across the board in big cities with violent crime problems these days is something called bail reform, which needs to be reformed itself. And this was the practice of letting go arrestees if they were first-time nonviolent offenders on low cash or no cash bail. The huge problem is that too often that approach has been taken with arrestees who've been charged with gun crimes or actual shooting, carjacking, or even murder here in Cook County around Chicago. And so when these types of suspects are released back out to the community before trial, all too often they go out and do similar things again. And I think the most glaring example that the nation is looking at recently is Daryl Brooks, the suspect in the Waukesha parade massacre. He had just been charged shortly before that horrid tragedy with running over or attempting to run over a woman in a domestic dispute. She had tire tracks on her leg, and he was let out on low cash bond. He had a whole history of a rap sheet, many pages long. He had two other outstanding felony offenses. And this is not an isolated story. The body count was higher than usual. But this is going on everywhere. And there are reasons for it, going back to the way that these prosecutors are educated in college and in law school.
Right. Now, this is Virginia. Sorry. I was going to ask, I don't know if you've seen the interview. Really kind of came out about a week ago with Axios reporter Jonathan Swan and Rashida Tlaib talking about the BREATHE Act, which would essentially abolish federal prisons and let everyone out in 10 years. And it kind of goes along with her support for bail reform, which, as Greg Gutfeld says, means no bail at all because they just want it gone. Mm-hmm. And they want to let these people out. And so, I mean, how do you argue against that and make the case that this is crazy? Because I think most reasonable people look at that and think, well, that's crazy. But how do you make that case for the people who have maybe been educated in the same system that led these prosecutors to think, well, this is a good idea?
Good question. And I think there's a couple of things. Number one, I think you make the case by telling the stories of the victims, the people who died or been maimed, or egregiously hurt by suspects who should have actually been behind bars waiting for trial on their latest charges. So that's one thing. And I document that stuff over and over in my book and in recent op-eds I've written. And the media does a pretty good job, actually, still, what's left of the media. So tell the stories of the families and people that suffer. Number two, counteract some of the methodological hokum that's out there. For instance, we hear constantly about something called mass incarceration. Well, I dug into that. It turns out the U.S. prison population peaked at 2.3 million in 2008, and that was about 1.05% of our population aged 19 and over. That's all from federal data sources.
Right.
I dug that up recently. Now, sure, the incarceration rate for African Americans is going to be slightly higher. And I say refute this by, you know, confronting the elephant in the room. Social justice advocates say that because blacks are incarcerated at a higher rate than whites, therefore, de facto, that's systemic racism. I say, actually, no. Let's look at it case by case. People are arrested, and you got to try really hard to get put in jail these days. So if that happens, it's probably because you've done something. So bring it back, strip it back to the bare essentials, right? Yeah. There is crime. Is there going to be punishment? And when there's an inverse relationship between crime and punishment, you get more crime when you've got less punishment. And let's talk about the people who are afraid to go out on the street. Let's talk about the Chicago aldermen who keep telling the mayor, my constituents tell me they're afraid to go out of the homes. I mean, when a city reaches that state, it's kind of like, excuse me, could we talk about that? You know, so I think confront the beast in the room head on. You got to do that.
Now, not quite playing devil's advocate, but there are situations, there are issues that I think the liberal and even leftward thinking people can point out where we do have some issues in our justice system that need reform. But of course, they always kind of take it way too far. And our reaction to it on the right is simply to say, oh, you know, screw you guys. You're kind of crazy. But, you know, but between issues like prosecutorial misconduct, which we saw actually pretty right in our faces in the Rittenhouse case, that can railroad defendants, and lenient bail reform measures that can put dangerous people back on the street, there must be a middle way where both you can protect people and protect people who are going through the justice system and protect the public, right?
I think there are. And, you know, one thing that's been advocated for here in Chicago and also other big cities is when there is a criminal suspect involved in a pending 911 call and the suspect has mental health issues, don't just send cops with guns, right? Send a mental health worker or a social worker. And the dispute here has been whether to include cops at all on those calls when the suspect is identified as having mental health issues. And some of the socialist DSA members of our Chicago City Council say no cops at all on those calls. Problem is, sometimes somebody will pull a knife and go at the social workers. Then you're glad you've got a cop. Well, yeah, let's compromise. Let's have sort of mixed teams going out to those calls. That's one way. But I think the biggest way to respond to this very legitimate concern for compassion, right, for the victims, because these are troubled people, even if they're not officially classified as having mental health issues. I think the most compassionate way is A, tough love, and B, better schools. So when I say tough love, city officials, mayors, and city council members like our mayor Lori Lightfoot in Chicago need to use their bully pulpit to talk about the importance of engaged parenting. That has gone by the boards completely. It's too old-fashioned. It's too retro. But behind every criminal, there are parents who have failed or not been there at all. Number two, more and better school choice. And I could go on for quite a while about that.
Yeah.
I'll take a breath.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. We're running out of time here. Obviously, you've got What Next Chicago, Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son, available everywhere we can get books, correct?
On Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble, online only, but I hope people will go there and just enter What Next Chicago in the search box at either of those book-selling sites online, and we'll be in your doorstep in 2 days.
Thank you, Matt Rosenberg. All